Good evening, and welcome to Singing and Other Sins, a production of Hawaii Public Radio, funded by the Bauer Foundation and supporters like you. I'm your host, Blair Boonmagura, sitting in for Gary Hickling. Today's Singing and Other Sins program is part two of a two-part series dedicated to that enigmatic French composer, Henri Dupac. In part one of our series, we sampled several Dupac melodies, chronologically dating from 1868 to 1874. I'd like us to begin today with melodies that Dupac composed from 1874 onwards. Don't forget that you can go to hawaiipublicradio.org/singingandothersins for copies of the French text with English translation. Around 1874, Dupac composed what many refer to as his Wagnerian Nocturne, inspired by Tristan und Isolde in direct response to that anti-Wagner sentiment and tension that consumed France. Extase represents the French ideals of lyricism, understatement, and the subtle sense of declamation combined with the German sense of harmony. In this melody, the poet succeeds in depicting an intimate and sensuous moment between lovers by using the symbol of death as a metaphor for sexual release. Dupac's chosen title of Extase reinforces the sexual imagery and adds dimension to the overall themes of eroticism and the sheer intensity of desire. In his book on the interpretation of French song, Pierre Bernac advises the interpreter, quote, "It is better to give up the idea of singing this melody if the phrasing on the words du souffle de la bien-aimée cannot be perfectly achieved with a beautiful pianissimo on the top." Let's see how French soprano Nora Amsalam fares with that high pianissimo A and that beautiful phrase translated as "from the breath of the beloved." She will be accompanied here by pianist Dalton Baldwin.
Thank you.
You just heard Duparc's Extase, performed by Nora Amsalam with pianist Dalton Baldwin. In my estimation, she nailed that pianissimo high A, and she would have made Pierre Bernac proud. We turn now to one of Duparc's more dramatic mélodies, Le Manoir de Rosamond, Rosamond's Manor, composed in 1879. Historically, it's likely that this medieval-like ballad is based on a legend concerning one of two Rosamonds. In the case of the first, Rosamond Clifford, she lived hidden away, protected by a labyrinth. Rosamond was so well hidden that even her lover, King Henry II, found it challenging to navigate his way through a difficult maze to find her. The second possibility alludes to a member of the early Lombard family that ruled in England. King Lombard was murdered by his wife, Rosamond, after she learned that the king was responsible for the murder of her father. The king's warriors pursued her in vain afterwards, but she was never found. Bonnier's poem has a similar theme, but in the end, what the poet seeks is never found. Duparc intended for this particular melody to be sung by a male voice, and it works just as superbly in the orchestrated version as it does in the piano. The overarching theme of emotion is that of an artist who has to express one of passion, combined with panic at the start of a song, and resignation by the end as the singer realizes that he will likely die on an endless quest in search of his lover Rosamond. Let's listen to Le Manoir de Rosamond, performed by mezzo-soprano Janet Baker with the London Symphony Orchestra, conducted by André Prévin. We come now to one of Duparc's lighter songs, Sérénade Florentine, composed in 1880. Let's listen to a performance with tenor Léopold Simoneau and pianist Alan Rogers.
Étoile dans la beauté lui, comme un diamant. Go!
We pause now from Duparc's Mélodie to discuss the wonderful friendship Duparc enjoyed with composer Gabriel Fauré. Fauré once confessed at having known only one prideful moment in which the creator of Fidèle, Duparc of course, expressed admiration for his Mélodie Le Secret. He would go on to reveal, quote, "I played it, Le Secret, to Henri Duparc, who began to tremble with emotion. It was then that I realized that Le Secret was something good." End quote. Of course, one of Fauré's other great contributions to the Mélodie was his composition Lydia. Pianist Graham Johnson states in his book on French song, quote, "If Fauré's Lydia owes its existence to Duparc in 1870, it inspired in a circular reciprocity of influences the same composer's Fidèle of 1882. Duparc owed to Fauré those small, tranquil, mezzo staccato crotchet chords seemingly suspended in the midday heat that had announced Lydia, and which also opens Duparc's song. Let's listen to famed baritone Pierre Bernac perform Fauré's Le Secret with none other than Francis Poulenc at the piano. How's that for a lesson in how to perform French mélodie? A feeling of restraint and refinement prevails in Bernac's interpretation of Fauré's Le Secret. An outpour of emotion, overstatement, and exaggerated interpretation is never in keeping with the French sensibility. Passion is, of course, not missing in the French mélodie. However, reason and mind are always in control of emotions. We will follow Le Secret with a performance of Lydia by Swiss tenor Hugues Guénon with pianist Jeffrey Parsons. So let's enjoy these two recordings that, in my opinion, epitomize how to authentically interpret this genre.
Je veux que le matin l'ignore le nom que j'ai dit à la nuit et qu'au vent de l'aube sans bruit comme une larme il s'évapore. Je veux que le jour le proclame au matin j'ai caché et sur mon cœur ouvert penché comme un grain d'encens.
We come now to what I willingly admit to as being my favorite of Duparc's mélodies, his celebrated song, Fidèle, which was, as previously mentioned, is purposefully modeled off of Fauré's Lydia in the opening measures. Both songs are linked together by their Greek antiquity-inspired poet, Le Comte de Lille. Composer Jules Massenet declared that Fidèle was as perfect a work as Franz Schubert's renowned Gretchen am Spinnrad. I find the song so incredible that I'm going to begin by reading you an English translation of the poem. That will be followed by a mellifluous recitation of the poem in French by French melody expert Mary Truman. We'll then listen to two completely different interpretations for piano and singer. The first is a classic recording in 1937 from Swiss baritone Charles Panzera, with his wife Madeleine Panzera at the piano. The second rendition is by American soprano Jessie Norman, with Dalton Baldwin at the piano. Duparc did prefer this melody to be sung in the male voice, but I think you'll also agree that the contrast is satisfying, and I'm certainly a fan of Norman's recording. Norman admits in her recent memoir that she has fond memories of coaching this particular melody with Pierre Bernac and Dalton Baldwin. Perhaps that is why her rendition is so in keeping with the great French tradition of interpretation. While we don't have time today to hear an orchestrated version, I promise to play it on a future Singing in Other Sins. It's interesting to note that Fidèle is dedicated to Duparc's close friend Ernest Chausson, who later orchestrated the melodie for Duparc. Be sure to listen out for the Fauré-inspired opening to the song and the Wagner-inspired climax toward the end. Fidèle. The grass is soft for sleeping under the fresh poplars on the slopes of the mossy springs, which in the flowery meadows germinate by the thousands, losing themselves in the black thickets. Rest, O Fidèle. Midday radiates on the leaves and invites you to slumber. In the clover and thyme, alone in the full day sun, singing the bees hover. A hot fragrance circles all around the path. The red wheat fields droop, and the birds' wings graze the hillside, looking for the shadow of the wild rosebush. Rest, O Fidèle. But when the setting sun sets on its fiery orb, finds its heat abated, so that your most beautiful smile and your best kisses reward me for waiting.
L'herbe est molle au sommeil, sous les frais peupliers, aux pentes des sources moussues, qui, dans les prés en fleurs, germant parmi issues, se perdent sous les noirs alliés. Repose, ô Fidèle. Midi sur les feuillages rayonne et t'invite au sommeil. Par le trèfle et le thym, seul, en plein soleil, chantent les abeilles volages. Un chaud parfum circule au détour des sentiers. La rouge fleur des blés s'incline et les oiseaux, rasant de l'aile la colline, cherchent l'ombre des églantiers. Repose, ô Fidèle. Repose, ô Fidèle. Repose, ô Fidèle. Mais quand l'astre, incliné sur sa courbe éclatante, verra ses ardeurs s'apaiser, que ton plus beau sourire et ton meilleur baiser me récompense de l'attente.
L'herbe est molle au soleil, sous les frais peupliers, au fond des sources moussues, qui dans les prés en fleurs germent parmi les
abeilles volages, un chaud parfum circule autour des sentiers, la rouge fleur des blés s'incline et les oiseaux rasent de l'aile la colline, cherchent l'ombre.
Thank you. You're listening to Singing in Other Sins. You heard a lyrical French recitation of the poem Fidèle by French scholar and song expert Mary Truman, followed by two incredible yet contrasting recordings. The first was with baritone Charles Panzera, with wife Madeline Panzera, and soprano Jessie Norman, with pianist Dalton Baldwin, concluded the segment. Now let's enjoy two Duparc melodies written in 1883, Testament and Lamento. Lamento is dedicated to Fauré, and you can see the influence of Berlioz, Fauré, and Liszt in this piece. But Duparc's own personality prevails throughout. The atmosphere created in this poem is a blend of loneliness and melancholy, combined with an element of fear, as a ghost-like figure sings its song underneath the earth in unison with a sad dove. The choice of a dove is significant, as the bird typically symbolizes peace or acts as a messenger. In Lamento, the dove is acting as a messenger in order to communicate a ghost-like figure's plaintive song. Listen for the haunting passage from the poem. Ah, jamais plus. Près de la tombe je n'irai, quand descend le soir au menton noir. Écoutez la pâle colombe, chanter sur la branche de l'if, son chant plaintif. Ah, never again shall I venture near the tomb when the night falls in its black cloak. Listen to the pale dove on the branch of the yew tree, sing its plaintive song. One last interesting anecdote about the song Lamento. When Duparc presented this melody to Fauré as a dedication, he wrote, "For my master Fauré," on the score. Fauré struck the word master from the manuscript and replaced it with the word pupil. So let's listen now to Duparc's Testament, followed by Duparc's Lamento. See if you can guess the performers.
Hey!
You just heard Duparc's Lamenteau with none other than Dutch soprano Ellie Ameling, with Rudolf Janssen at the piano. And we began the segment with Testament, performed by José Van Damme, with Mathieu Pikulski at the piano. And now we come to Duparc's final mélodie, La Vie Antérieure, The Former Life, written in 1884, the same year that Debussy won the Prix de Rome with his cantata L'Enfant Prodigue. With L'Invitation au Voyage and La Vie Antérieure, it is clear that Duparc has in some sense found in Charles Baudelaire's poetry a kindred artistic spirit. We can only lament the fact that his third attempt at a Baudelaire poem with Recueillement was never fully realized, and subsequently destroyed either by the composer or in a fire that consumed Duparc's home. Duparc suffered from a nervous disease thought to be neurasthenia, which over time eventually left him mute, paralyzed, and blind. Duparc gave us his last mélodie, which seems almost a premonition of what was to come in terms of his illness and subsequent early retirement from composition. He, of course, had no idea that this was to be the last of his songs and that he would go on to live a life void of musical expression, often reflecting on his former life. La Vie Antérieure contrasts so much from the composer's first song, Chanson Triste, which already showed the composer's maturity and talent for evoking a mood in the music. Is La Vie Antérieure a memory or a dream about a former existence? The title La Vie Antérieure can be viewed as an earlier point in life, or more metaphysically as a previous incarnation, given Baudelaire's perspective on karmic evolution and the transmigratory potential of the soul. Baudelaire maintained a deep interest in the Eastern philosophy that subscribed to the idea that a life would have lived several times over successive lifetimes, and that it would be possible to keep some memories of a previous lifetime. Sidney Northcote writes, in one of the few books that exists on the composer, "The ineffable nostalgia in Baudelaire's poetry found a responsive echo in Duparc, and here, as in L'Invitation au Voyage, the music is illuminated by the strange Baudelairean light which defies analysis. A deeply felt song possessed of a rare beauty, it has too an ethereal majesty and an infinite sadness. It almost seems as if by some strange alchemy the composer knew that this was to be the last offering of his genius. This is a masterpiece, a song to dwell with, haunting, profound, and as far as human imagination can go, perfect." When listening to La Vie Antérieure, notice as the voice sings on a monotone its last lines. The piano takes over in a somber postlude reminiscent of the postlude in Schumann's Dichterliebe, capping off the poetic mood, thereby further interpreting the secret pain depicted in Baudelaire's poem. The final measures of the song continue to diminuendo and fade into oblivion, as Duparc's compositional career would regrettably do as well. Let's end our exploration of Duparc with two performances of La Vie Antérieure. First, we will hear soprano Jessie Norman with pianist Dalton Baldwin, followed by soprano Barbara Hendricks and the Orchestre de l'Opéra National de Lyon, conducted by Sir John Elliott Gardiner. Thank you. In the years after La Vie Antérieure, Duparc moved from Paris to Geneva to devote himself entirely to his family and other passions, like drawing and painting. He also held political office for a very short time. And he spent several years deliberating over the orchestrations of his mélodies with the help of his one and only student, composer Jean Crase. Duparc died in 1933 without producing any new music in the final 48 years of his life. Duparc's music remains with us today because of his innate ability to translate the poet's very thought into music. He remains, for me, one of the most eloquent and sophisticated composers of French song. I hope that you enjoyed this two-part series focused on French melody composer Henri Duparc. Don't forget, you can go to hawaiipublicradio.org/singing and other sins for copies of the French text with English translation. I invite you to email me with your thoughts about this two-part series on Duparc at singing@hawaiipublicradio.org. Tune in again next week for another episode of Singing and Other Sins. In the time remaining, I'll leave you with Duparc's duet, La Fuite, The Fleeing, with Sarah Walker, Thomas Allen, baritone, and pianist Roger Vignoles. I'm your host, Blair Boone Magura. Firmament sans étoile, la lune est à ses rayons, la lune au prêtre sans toile, ne crains-tu pas la colère de tes frères insolents, le désespoir de ton père, aux sourds et blancs. Que m'importe, mépris, plein de danger, malédiction. Traversée, le cœur jaillit, me semble sentir le contact glacé.